And now to bring us the sermon, our local elder, Mr. Monty Knutson.
Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. This mic is right in my face, so maybe that's pretty good. It's good to see everyone here today. My wife is at home today, so I say hello to her and all those listening on the webcast, all those who are suffering, unable to be with us today. And it's good to see everyone else and some new faces I haven't seen in a while, so welcome to you as well. When we see the scripture, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and what comes to mind? What comes to mind? Do you see that as a benefit? What happens, turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Most of us know the scripture, 6:33. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And it talks about, "Then these things shall be added unto you," talking about food, water, and needs. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Does that have benefits? Do we look at that statement in the Bible as, oh yeah, good? I mean, the world, those in the world, they do not know how to love God. They do not know how to give the way God gives. These are amazing scriptures for us to look at, to truly look at. And do we desire the meaning behind these words? You know, I appreciated Mr. Ekema's sermonette about doing. Do we want to be in God's kingdom? Do we want to be the bride of Christ? We've been called to an amazing calling. Do we sometimes just let that slip by? Kept ringing in my ears of Mr. Ekema's sermonette, "We must be doing, we must be doing, we must be doing." I think it ties well, or I hope I can bring it out in the message today. We've had those who have been in the church for many years have heard many sermons on fasting. Many sermons on fasting. So I was afraid to almost give my synopsis and title yesterday, because maybe most of us, I've heard that before and I'm not going to come today. But you didn't. So that's good. You know, I'm hoping through the message today that we'll be able to look at fasting for those of us who don't fast that often, that, hey, I want to fast. I want to fast more often. My goal is to help us to see what fasting is all about and the results that we get through fasting. So we can ask ourselves, just as we heard the sermonette and the first two scriptures, we can ask ourselves, you know, do I see this? Do I see God's calling as a blessing? A true blessing, a true benefit. And so with that thought process, I'm going to ask you a question. And say, oh, that is not even parallel with it. Yes, it does. Hope to bring that out. When was the last time we fasted? If it's been a while, this will tie in well. And for those who recognize and understand the meaning of fasting, who do it regularly, this is a good reminder. So with that question, we can ask ourselves. Some people may say, well, fasting is not really required except on atonement. But so I ask that question, is fasting a requirement for our daily walk with God? And if so, are there benefits to fasting? So today we want to look at the benefits of fasting. And through these benefits, we'll see why, when, and how we should be fasting? Real quickly, to answer that first question, are we required to fast? You know, that question was brought up to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, in verse 14, then the disciples of John the Baptist, the disciples of John came to him saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Christ said to them in verse 15, and can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So Christ was saying, hey, they're with me. They're right beside me. I'm teaching them. They're right here. We have this communication. But when I'm not here, that communication needs to continue. That dialogue needs to continue. And then they will fast. So that's what he's talking about here. But the question we can ask ourselves is, why were the Pharisees and why were these other disciples saying, how did they know that Christ's disciples weren't fasting? How did they know? Now, we're told how we're supposed to fast, but in reference, Luke 18:12, most people fasted in the open. They showed it, right? Luke 18:12 says, I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all I possess. People fasted in the open. They wanted people to see them fast. See how righteous I am. Matthew 6, verse 17 tells us how we should fast, in our appearance anyway. Matthew 6, verse 16, it says, Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites who would display their righteousness in the open with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. So Christ is saying, we don't be like that. But when you fast, anoint your head. In other words, comb your hair like a normal day and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. So we're not to appear to others that we are fasting. We just do it. But to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So that's not the only requirement, but that is something we display when we fast. Now, people will say, and it's for some of us who are new and you know, what is fasting? You know, what is fasting? You know, on the Day of Atonement, you go back in the Pentateuch, it tells us that on that day, we're commanded from sunset to fast with no food and no water. So when we also fast, you can go through the scriptures, in the Hebrew word fast means to cover the mouth. Cover up, not let anything in. In the Greek, it's nesto. It means to do without, no food, no water. So physically, that's another thing we do, fasting. Now, obviously there's circumstances, people, medication, different things. I'm sure you guys have all, who are in that situation, have counseled about that. And so there are, it's about the attitude. So things can be done regarding that. But it is to abstain from any food or water for a certain period of time. Now, on the Day of Atonement, that's the only commandment in the Bible that says you fast, you have to fast for 24 hours. So when we fast other times, we see that Moses and Christ fasted for 40 days. There's people in the Bible who fasted for more than that, and there's people who fasted for less than 24 hours. There's examples of David and Samuel who fasted shorter fasts as well as longer fasts. In Corinthians, Paul makes the statement two times. I'll just give you the scriptures. We don't need to turn there. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Paul says that he fasted often. So as we go through this message, we're going to see that fasting should be a part of who we are. And not just on the Day of Atonement. We'll see that God desires us to fast. And through that fasting, he desires for us to have certain thoughts, certain actions. You know, that first sermonette, you know, doing. He requires actions during fasting, which we'll see. Miracles happen during fasts. And there are results through these fasts that display these miracles. We'll go through that as well. So, I have some benefits that we'll go through. I'm not going to say how many I have because I'm not going to go along. I may get them all, I may not. And there's more than just these, okay? And some of these even lap over a little bit, okay? But the whole thought process is there's different reasons to fast. Not just, you know, on the Day of Atonement, we fast to worship God. We fast to worship God. And we know what that day represents, that one day those sins, all those sins are going to be placed on the accuser, Satan. Okay? So we worship God and we're thankful for that. And we honor him as we're commanded to fast on that day. But we'll see in the scriptures that many people fasted. And they fasted for many different reasons. And I'm going to bring some of those out. And then we're going to wrap this all up in Isaiah 58. Because fasting is not just fasting. There's action involved in fasting if you want to see the benefits. So benefit number one I have is we fast to grow in humility. And I'm going to turn over to Psalm chapter 35. Talking about David, Psalm 35. Says, but as for me, when they are sick, my clothing was sackcloth. Now, as you go through the scriptures, you'll see a lot of times people who wear sackcloth and ashes. Now, is that something that they're wearing to display? Hey, I'm fasting. Back then, they would do that privately. Sometimes they do it as a large group. But it pretty much what it was that sackcloth and ashes was not pretty. You know, it made the self little. It didn't, you know. So it represented who they were on the inside. It represented what they were in the inside. So he says, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting. So he humbled himself with fasting, so we can, if we have issues in our lives and we're not humble, and sometimes certain situations can come out, right, where we're tested, it's like, wow, circumstances, things may happen at work, what happens on the road, number of things. But he says we can humble ourselves with fasting. We're going to find out that prayer is not enough. There are times where prayer is not enough to grow in humility. He says, and my prayer would return to my own heart. So when he fasted, my prayer would return to who I am, to become genuine, to be genuine. And just as a reference, what gets God's attention, right? Isaiah 66, 2. God says, for all those things my hand has made. He's made everything. And all those things exist for us. But on this one will I look. This is what gets my attention, God says. On him who is poor. On him who is humble and of a contrite spirit. Who's willing to change. And who trembles at my word. who comes on the Sabbath to be instructed. To be instructed, to come in assembly and to be instructed, to hear God's words. It's all about, remember, a relationship. So, it's about relationships with God. It doesn't happen without work. Relationships don't happen with us in the marriage. It doesn't happen without work. Are we seeking humility? If we struggle with that, we have an example that David humbled himself with fasting. Number two, the second one I have, is that we can fast for spiritual alertness and strength. Not just praying for it, but fasting for spiritual alertness and strength. We can look at this as fast for strength. I need food for strength. Well, do we? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 4. We do need food to be able to live. And when we do fast, we go without food and water. Seems like for me, almost immediately, I get real thirsty right away. It's like psychologically or Satan putting that there. But yeah, when we go without food and water for a while, we become weak, don't we? Helps us it reminds us that who created this food? God did, right? And without Him, we would die physically. But without Him, we would die spiritually as well. Here in Matthew chapter 4, regarding spiritual breakthroughs in our lives, we see in verse 1 that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So He's being led up there, and He's going to be tempted. Jesus Christ said, if I'm tempted, you're going to be tempted. We are going to be tempted. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, which afterward it says He was hungry. So when we do fast, it's supposed to afflict the soul. Not maybe sometimes, you know, maybe some people with a really fast metabolism can, you know, how we're fasting, maybe one or two meals is good enough. You know, I'm not here to give the timing. Our hearts, our minds, our desire will determine that. But it says, after He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, then He was tempted by Satan. What does that tell us? Do you think we can withstand the temptations of Satan and not even fast? It says He fasted. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. So after He was hungry, He was tempted. And what was Christ doing? He fasted. Now Christ could do all things. Christ has done many miracles. He could do many miracles. But He always gave credit to the Father. Always gave credit to the Father. When He was about to die, He prayed, I don't want to do this. If there's another way, if it's possible, but not my will, Your will. He was strengthened. Going into His ministry, He was strengthened by fasting. And what does He say? He says in verse 4, He says to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So spiritual alertness and strength can come through fasting. It's not the physical food that comes from God that gives us that strength. It's the spiritual food. We're not to be self-reliant. You know, we eat, right? In the Pentateuch, God actually tells the nation of Israel. I mean, they have everything. They've been blessed. And they're not listening to Him. And what does He say? You become fat and need of nothing. You have everything. You don't need Me. But once I shake things up and things happen, You go into captivity. Then you start coming back and praying. Doesn't that seem to what happens maybe in our life? We can see it in the world where maybe issues happen, big issues, and all of a sudden they start praying to God. But even when Christ was crucified and died, he says he did it with joy. That doesn't come from eating physical food. That comes from God the Father. His amazing grace, his amazing gifts that he bestowed on his Son. And so he did the Father's will. He fasted to do the Father's will to grow. You know, just, you know, some things that hit me, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit." Anything of the flesh and the spirit, you know, our nature, the influence of Satan. "Perfecting holiness in the fear of God." That is done through fasting. Through prayer and fasting. When we fast, we must also be praying. Ephesians 5 says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That is also done through prayer and fasting. And Titus 2:14, "He who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, those who are zealous for good works," through prayer and fasting. If we're not fasting and think that we can do good works, we're doing that on our own. We're becoming self-reliant. There's, you know, we wonder sometimes why we have these tests. And God is the one who tests us. He doesn't tempt us into sinning. That's what Satan does. Satan tempts us into sinning. But we go through that in our life. And sometimes we have, you know, trials. You know, sometimes for me, myself, when things are going really, really well, it's like I start to go, wow, this is good. I'm overly chippery, you know. Nothing wrong with being nice and kind, but it's like, okay. Sometimes I'll even joke around a little bit. Should I even have said that? No, we can get a little haughty. God wants to keep us down. You know, tests and trials. He wants us to persevere, to keep going on. And he helps us to see that who we are deep down, the core of our being, he wants that to reflect the outside. Not just come to church and all polished and we look good and we're here, but who are we really? He wants those two to match. We're to be a living sacrifice. When before the sacrifices were abolished because of Christ, he's our sacrifice, and we can go to him in prayer and our sins can be forgiven. When they would do a sacrifice on the altar, if it was an animal, and they had to bring an animal without blemish, right? Had to be their best. All right? We come before God. We have to be our best. We have to look good. But if they cut that animal open and it had some type of disease, sometimes it had worms, that sacrifice was rejected. So what is our inside? Who are we? Who are we really? Right? Something that we can look at. Okay. Third one I have here is we fast to seek God's will in a certain matter. We can specifically ask to seek God's will in certain matters. And there's many examples of that in the Bible. We know that Paul and Barnabas fasted in Acts, right? When they wanted elders for the church. That God would reveal to them. 2 Chronicles 20:3, I think I'm not going to go there, but you could read that whole chapter there about Jehoshaphat and the whole tribe who's being invaded by other nations. He's going to come there to conquer them. And what does Jehoshaphat do? He tells the nation that we're going to fast. They go before God. They hallow his name. You're the great God. This is who you are. This is what you've done. They let him know that they know this. And then they say, we don't know what to do. We don't know how to do it. It's also a part of humility, isn't it? Seeking for a certain will. Help us. We can go before God. Help me through this process. Sometimes we're encumbered by a huge trial. We don't know what to do. We can go before God. I don't know what to do. I'm coming before you. You're the great God. You've done these things. I'm trying to live your way of life. Help me to see. And let's see what God does. I think we could all sit up here and talk about examples of how God has intervened in people's lives. But there's that example. And it's not just about going hungry, as we're talking about. It's about seeking closeness to God and seeking his righteousness. I think it's one of the hymns we sang earlier, is that we're not to be deceitful. Have that deceit. That's what loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. We care about others. Our nature doesn't want to care about everyone, but through fasting we can. So I just referred to some scriptures on that one. Point four, we can fast to seek repentance of sin. And we talk a lot about and go to God and seek repentance and prayer. But through fasting, we have examples of that. Daniel chapter 9. Where the whole nation, and Daniel puts himself included in this. Because Daniel is about his people. About his people too. Daniel 9, verse 3, and when I set my face toward the Lord God to make request, as they've gone into captivity because they were disobedient, to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity and have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. So we can ask God for forgiveness of our sins, but here it's displayed through fasting as well. We know the story of Jonah going to Assyria, and I know he was reluctant to do that, but Syria listened and they fasted. They prayed and fasted. What did God do? He answered their prayer. They recognized that they sinned. So they fasted. Psalm, David, there's in the scriptures. Let me just read you one. Psalm 69:10 says, David here is seeking God. He has his sin front and center, and he was humble, and he wanted forgiveness, and he did it through fasting. Fasting and prayer. We know Nehemiah and Ezra fasted for the nation as well. They got themselves involved, and they did it for many days. For the nation, for others. And they stated in their statements, we have sinned. We as a people have sinned. So they're fasting. And 5 says, and this is all, like I say, they're all intertwined, but here I specifically say, we can fast for God's help. Fasting for God's help. We know Esther and Mordecai, right? They, situation where Haman had deceived the king and making a decree to wipe out all the Jews. And through this process of Esther and being consulted and by Mordecai to approach the king. And she knew that she could possibly die because she was Jewish. The king did not know that. She was the queen. But she fasted. Her handmaids fasted. The Jews fasted for 3 days and three nights. They were going to go hear someone deceitfully deceive the king to kill them. And what did they do? They sought God through prayer and fasting. They were determined. So we've known that example, but they were fasting for God's help. Judges 20 verse 26 says, Israel fasted with tears. They cried out to God. They cried out to God. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Ties in a lot with what we wrestle with. Matthew 17 and verse 14 is fathers wanting a boy healed who was demon possessed. Like we know the story. Let's just read it. This is a situation where we too can ask for God's help through prayer and fasting. Verse 14, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So this demon in him is trying to kill him, trying to kill this boy. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now here the disciples were going out, and they were doing many miracles. They were casting out demons. But why couldn't they cast out this one? They were doing a number of different things. Jesus comes onto the scene. And Jesus answered and said to them, Oh, you faithless and perverse generation. Faithless and perverse. Here's Christ amongst them, teaching them how to live, and they were not listening. Here we are on this Sabbath day. God, whatever God's words are spoken, he's instructing us and teaching us. Are we going to follow? Or are we going to be a perverse people as well? Myself included. How long shall I be with you? Now he was there with them. Right there with them. Kept pounding and pounding and teaching. When I say pounding, he was there in their presence. He was always there. He was continuously working. How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. How long should I continue to keep telling you and continuing to show you and bring him to me? And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. And this is Christ who had fasted before his ministry started. 40 days and 40 nights. And look at the work he did through his ministry. Now, yes, we know Christ was in the flesh. In verse 19, and the disciples came to Christ privately and said, why could we not cast this demon out? Why could we cast this particular one out? And any of us who struggle with certain things and certain pulls, and maybe the influences are there, and whatever the circumstances are, it's going to take more than just prayer. So Christ said to them, because of your unbelief, all right? So we believe, you know, we're going through these benefits of fasting. We're applying them, starting in humility, right? Growing in spiritual strength, right? We're going through the process here. We're determined to obey God. We know that we are not to be self-reliant, that we are nothing, that through him all things can happen through him. We trust in him. We believe in him. We're have this relationship. It says, for surely I say to you, if you have faith Now, faith without works is dead, right? Not just faith, but it's a working faith. It's a working faith, which I'll touch on just a little bit. As a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So Christ is saying, if you have this type of faith, I'm living in you, you're doing these things, whatever you do, this type of faith, you can have this faith and understand, and you can know that if it's God's will, it's going to happen. However, he says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So sometimes when we go through these difficult circumstances where there is a really, really difficult and powerful demon, you know, prayer and fasting is required. Six. We can fast if we're sad. I mean, a deep, deep sorrow. We can fast if we're sad. There's an example. We don't need to turn there, but we know the example of David and Bathsheba. David was, we found out he had sinned. He was remorseful. He was very sad. And he wanted that his son to live. He prayed to God, I want my son to live. He's remorseful. He was sad. He was repentant. He was humbling himself. He was seeking that relationship back with God. And what did God do? God answered the prayer, but it wasn't what he wanted. The child died. So he got up, prayed, cleaned himself up, and he ate. You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 35, that David was very sad when Abner died. Here's a man who was deceitful, turned around and changed. David loved him. Joab, someone very close to David, killed him. And David was sad, remorseful, and he fasted. You can read that story over there. I know we know the story of also in Daniel chapter 6, 18. King Darius, what happened? He also signed a decree. And what happened? Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He was very displeased. Daniel 6, 18, and also verse 14. He was very displeased with himself. But he also, at the same time, he knew that God can deliver you, Daniel. So we go through circumstances, and we can fast. We can ask God to lift us up. Through these scriptures in the Bible, these individuals who fasted, God can give comfort. God can also answer prayers through these troubled times. Let's go to one last one before we go over to Isaiah as far as another blessing or benefit. Luke chapter 2. Luke 2 verse 37. We have Anna, who's a widow, who's a prophetess. And it says in verse 37, well, let's go to verse 36. Now there was one who was Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, and the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God. And she served him with fastings and prayers at nighttime and during the day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him of all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she was a light. She gave thanks to God. She fasted for that. And she was there to help others who were in need. So we can also fast because we love God as well. And it will help us to be a better light. There is, I think, you know, in 1 Kings 21, I'm just going to reference it there, that we have a king and we have a queen that fasted for something that was ungodly. So as we get to Isaiah 58 here in just a few minutes, we'll touch on that in a little bit. But we can fast for the wrong reasons, and I think we know that. This particular king wanted a certain vineyard that wasn't his, and the man was unwilling to give it up. So Jezebel, his wife, called a fast. Called a fast. And they went and had this man killed. And then the man got his vineyard, King Ahab. So it was an ungodly fast. It was something that he went, and after he asked the man if he could have it, and he'd be willing to pay for it and move him somewhere else, the man said, no, I can't give up my inheritance. He got angry. He got upset. He went and cried in bed. You can read the story back there, how the process was and how Jezebel got involved and had this man stoned to death so Ahab could get his vineyard. So sometimes we can be fasting. We have to ask ourselves, am I fasting to get something? Am I asking so others can feel sorry for me? Whatever it is, whatever the situation is, we don't want to be doing that. I want to turn to James chapter 4 real quick. James chapter 4, because I think we can put this in the context of fasting. James chapter 4. Verse 8, it's talking about submitting to God, right, and resisting the devil, and he will flee from you, verse 7. But in verse 8 it says, draw near to God. Draw near. Now we saw through fastings individuals who fasted to draw near to God. And when what will happen? It says, he will draw near to you. It says, cleanse your hands. It's telling us, cleanse our hands. Are we still, as we're here today, but when we go out from here, are we still part of the world? Are we still mixed? It says we're not to do that. Cleanse your hands. It says you sinners. And we are. We are sinners. But we don't want to practice sin. We got to remember that we can't be self-reliant, that we need God. It says, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Satan will deceive us in any way he can. We need to be fasting to be able to stand up to Satan and his devices. The purpose for fasting is to draw close to God, to have that relationship. God wants relationships, as we talked about earlier. He wants us to have a relationship with him. Wants us to have a relationship with one another. How determined are we to have that? Fasting process is to know the mind of God, to become more like him. We have many people, many examples in the Bible who fasted to get close to God. Again, God tells us to overcome. Let's turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 58. Here Israel was living. They thought they were doing okay. But they obviously had problems and situations. Isaiah here, and you know, it says 58 verse 1, cry aloud, he's told, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet and tell my people their transgression and those and the house of Jacob their sins. And it says, they come to seek me daily. They're doing these rituals. Verse 3 says, but why have we fasted, they say, and you've not seen? You've not seen our fast. Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? It says, in fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. You find pleasure. To seek pleasure. You're fasting for the wrong reasons. And exploit all your labors. It's all about me. The mindset was wrong. It's all about me. My trial. My issues, my problems. It says, indeed, you fast for strife and debate. Issues, problems, arguings, and to strike with a fist of wickedness. And you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. You won't fast. You're not listening to do the right type of fast. Verse 5 says, is it a fast that you're doing that I have chosen? He's asking them, is this a fast that I have chosen? And it's not. A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush? In other words, he's saying, is it just to go hungry and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Just to go hungry, to show me that you're going hungry and your attitude is wrong? Verse 6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? So here we go through. This is the fast. Isn't this the fast that I have chosen? Now let's put this into context of the benefits and the blessings of fasting, right? We're fasting and we're told, Christ said, well, hey, okay, yeah, my disciples, when they fast, this is how they're going to fast in appearance. This is how we do it, no food and water. The time period is up to us, right? But, and he's saying, as we go through these fasts, all right, that as he was with them one-on-one, he was instructing them, he was teaching them, they were doing. They were working. So when we fast, it's not to lay in bed and sit around. It's to comb our hair and get out and work. It's to go and serve and live and to put all these things we put into practice and more. Because that's what he's talking about. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Okay, we know we're going to fast. We're going to comb our hair. We're going to go out. We're not going to appear to anyone. And all these situations in my life that I deal with, that I come in contact with, I'm going to fast about them. Maybe ones in particular. Maybe some as a group. So when we serve, it's talking about fasting when we serve. It's about fasting to overcome. That's what he's talking about. It's talking about to loose the bonds of wickedness. It's fasting to loosen those bonds of wickedness, those straps that Satan has got on us that we can't overcome, that we're still who we are. We know we're supposed to overcome. We know we are praying, but it's difficult and it's the same thing over and over and there's nothing changing. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To undo those heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free, those that we can't forgive. And that you break every yoke, the yoke of bondage that just holds us back. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Those who are hurting, those who are hungry, those who don't have enough money to make ends meet. Hospitality. Are we getting to know one another? It's a requirement. Being hospitable. So fasting. Fasting and sharing. Overcoming. Doing. that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, who can't make their house payment? Are we willing to bring them in? It's talking about fasting. Fasting in action. A relationship with God who helps us to overcome our thoughts, our understandings. Helps us to, God works with us, feeds us, strengthens us through these fasts as we apply these fasts and put our faith in action through fasting. Is it not, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, from our own will, doing our own things? Then your light, if you do this, shall break forth like the morning. It's going to break forth like the morning comes up and that sun and it pops. Darkness is gone. The whole earth on that side, that area, is bright. And that's what it's saying. The things that God can do. Faith is a mustard seed. Stepping out in everything we do at times in fasting. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. The Lord will answer. We're fasting, we're living it, we're applying it, and God says he will answer. And you shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am. What is it you want?" It says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. We know we don't want to do that, but how determined are we to get rid of it? God is saying through fasting. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. It's doing this through fasting. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you continually because we have a relationship with him and fasting. And satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden. I mean, this is pretty amazing, all these things. It's like God says this, you know, I will feed you, I will strengthen you, but it's not going to be through the physical food and water. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. Do you want to be the bride of Christ? Do I want to be the bride of Christ? That's what it's talking about. Overcoming through fasting, prayer and fasting. That's not the only thing. Now, when we pray and we fast, we're also meditating, aren't we? God's working with us. He's right there. He's feeding us. It says, you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. So people will look. People will look to us. God will give us the strength. He'll give us the joy, no matter what we're going through and the things that we do. We can't be saying, woe, woe to me. We don't want to be like Matthew 23, where Christ keeps saying, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, verse after verse, hypocrites, hypocrites, who kept the law. He wanted them to change from the inside. So today, I hope I was able to bring out something maybe a little different, and just, instead of just fasting, it's like, okay, I want to overcome this particular thing, or I want to do something. We can do that. We can apply that through fasting, that we can be afflicted, that we could be seeking God's will. So fasting is, as we saw and as we read, is very important to God. The question we have to ask ourselves, is it important to us? If we put it into action and we use it right, it's a powerful tool that we can use in our daily lives. So let's put fasting as a priority. And when we fast, let's fast the fast that God has chosen.